I know what you're thinking. Not another goddamn social media platform I need to master. Fear not. Running a Snapchat competition is actually a lot easier than you think. And because not a lot of brands have caught on, it's one of the most effective and novel ways to build an online community. I also talk about how you can create your own Snapchat geofilter and run that as a competition, as well as some really cool Facebook community management features that you're likely not using, such as autoresponders. Don't go anywhere, because you're listening to another education-packed episode of Inbound Buzz.
Welcome to the Inbound Buzz podcast, your weekly jolt of all things digital and inbound marketing, brought to you by redpandas.com.au. Now for your host and co-founder of Red Pandas, Moby Sadiq.
Welcome to Inbound Buzz. I am your host, Moby Sadiq, and you're listening to episode number 28. Everything I cover today, by the way, from the show notes, the screenshots I might mention, the resources, links, you can find on redpandas.com.au/EP28. I'm still, of course, doing my masterclass interview series every other week, and I'll continue to be doing so until the people stop answering my phone calls. But for now, onto a regular episode. So, as of today's recording, Inbound 2016 is a mere 55 or 56 days away. That's just insane. Like, that's a little over a month. And it's not too late to book a ticket to the biggest inbound event of the year. And I know there's only 55 or 56 days left, thanks to my very good mates from the HubShots podcast, who created a nifty little countdown timer on inboundcountdown.com. So you're likely not listening to this when it comes out. So check it out and see how many days there are left to go. Okay, so I've spoken about it before, and there is absolutely something for everyone at Inbound, absolutely everything. Now, there's really cool keynotes, and there's people like Alec Baldwin and Serena Williams, and hey, you know what? If I get time, no doubt I'll be checking those guys out. I'm sure they have a lot of amazing inspirational stories I can learn from, we can all learn from, but I'm not going to Inbound to go see Serena Williams, right? I'll probably, you know, go to Wimbledon or, you know, wherever, right? But hey, if you've got time, definitely check them out. But if you're like me, you're after something really practical, right? And there's really practical tracks they have there too. And there really is something for everyone. They've got tracks on sales, practical hacks, tips and tricks, which I'm most interested about. There's an executive C-level track, there's an agency track, and there's also a HubSpot track as well. So you definitely won't have time to see everything. There's definitely something there for you. Pre-plan it, check it out. You haven't booked your accommodation, you can probably get something at Airbnb, you'll be fine. And I'm personally looking forward to meeting all of those who listen to the show and who'll be converging at Boston, and I'll be catching up from the HubShot guys as well, so I would love to see you there. Now, speaking of catching up and networking, that takes me to buzz one of today's episode, and that's networking at conferences. You know, you really can't underrate this. A big part of networking, big part of going to these events is meeting people you haven't met before, people who are smarter than you, you know, not so you can leech off people, but so you can learn from them, right? And hopefully share your own experiences with them as well. Funnily enough, I came across this article just this other week as I'm, you know, thinking there's, you know, so few days left to Inbound. And I found it on the inbound.org community. I'll share that with you as well. And it's how to network with influencers at a conference. Very timely. I want to share a few things from the article because I find some of the points fascinating. I haven't seen it spoken about this way before. I found it quite interesting. I firmly believe that if you go home with just knowledge and no new connections and you haven't met anyone else, then you really have to ask yourself how valuable that trip was, especially if you're like, you know, me, traveling all the way from Australia or traveling all the way from anywhere for 4 days. And it's one of those things that most people often find intimidating. It does take you out of your comfort zone a little bit. So if networking does make you a little anxious, listen up to some of these tips. The first tip shared in the article really caught my attention, and that was go alone. Bear with me for a second. How interesting is Nadia Koja's perspective? So she says it's easy to get trapped in the comfort of your own friends and coworkers rather than going to the networking parties. You go out with your own team. Instead of doing the morning group walks, you sleep in with your team. And now, look, I have no idea what a morning group walk is. I won't knock it until I try it, but it sounds interesting enough. But she makes a point. If you're by yourself, you have no option but to cross paths with other human beings and actually meet other people and use those opportunities as networking opportunities. Now, you're probably thinking, what the hell, maybe? You just said you're teaming up with HubShots and listeners at Inbound. You're looking to meet people. And that's true. But this is why. Firstly, meeting up with people at inbound.org, the Inbound Conference or any conference for that matter, is very different to doing that conference with them, doing the entire conference with them. You know, I'm meeting up with them. Secondly, it warms you up by getting your networking juices flowing. Now, meeting people you already know, interacting with them, it kind of warms you up a little bit. And by extension, you know, perhaps you can meet the people that the people you already know, ask them who should you meet, get their thoughts, get their suggestions as well. And sometimes it's just good to drop your networking hat and schedule some, you know, your downtime and get a drink, have dinner, catch up with someone. It's good to take a break from that. It can be a little bit mentally exhausting. So no one's suggesting you just go and you smash business cards or anything. You got to kind of break it up a little bit. So my advice for any conference, you know, be it Inbound coming up in November or any other conference, would be if you can pre-plan to meet people, fantastic. And if you're going in a group or with a friend, still do so. Don't just ditch them when they go to the bathroom. Just don't let the comfort of being with someone stop you from networking. You know, I guess the first step is being cognizant of that. And let them know beforehand, get them excited with you that you're really excited to meet certain people and you're excited to do it together. Because you can network with someone else. You don't have to be there completely by yourself. But you guys both have to be on the same wavelength. The second tip in the article was make a game out of it. And Nadia talks about trying to exchange, you know, 10 business cards with someone on day one and 15 on day two and, you know, so on and so forth. And that might be a little bit of overkill, but at least just start with your comfort zone. Maybe hand out five, exchange five. And now, you know what, this might sound kind of silly, but this is a pretty cool icebreaker as well. You know, hey, I'm looking to meet people. I set myself a challenge of meeting five people I don't know. What do you do? This is my business card. And go from there. Tip three, another really cool tip was that usually at these big events, like Inbound or social media marketing world, they have online schedules. And there's like a list or a Slack group where it has all the names of all the people that are attending. So she actually says, use these lists to network. And if you take this further, you can get really clever and look some of these people up on LinkedIn, see if there's actually any synergy before you go and chat and interact with them, which not only helps you organize your time a little better, but you can also learn a couple of things about that person before you chat to them as well, without obviously appearing too stalkerish, like you know their entire life story. All right, let's move on to buzz number two. And let's talk about Facebook community management for a second. Specifically, two free community management features I stumbled across. So I was managing our Facebook page, the Red Panda's Facebook page the other day, and I noticed two cool features. The first one is Messenger Code. Now, before I talk about what it is, to find it, if you log onto your page, you go to Messages, at the bottom of the screen, you'll notice two things, and I'll share a screenshot in the show notes. But one of those things is away, which is cool, because if you want to advise people that you're away for an extended period and not to expect to hear from you, awesome. But then next to it, there's this little information icon, this little eye icon. If you click on that, it actually opens up a pop-up and it says download your Messenger code. Now, this is what the Messenger code is. It's like a QR code almost. It's got your profile picture in the middle and it's got some sort of funky blue QR codey sort of design around the outer edge. And what that allows you to do, if someone has the Messenger app, they can scan that and that will allow them to interact with you on Messenger automatically just by scanning it. Now, I just want to say something because I did say the word QR code. This is not a QR code. And 99% of the time, QR code, the traditional QR code, they're rubbish, right? Because think about it. You're asking someone to, I'm going off on a bit of a tangent here, but I've got to mention this. You're asking someone to open up their mobile phone, cool, go into the app store, download a freaking QR code reader, then take that QR code reader, scan the thing, and then do something with it. Isn't it just simpler to send them to a bit.ly link or something shorter or a short URL? So most of the time, they are useless. Not always, most of the time. But this isn't that. This allows you to leverage off already conditioned behavior of people using Facebook Messenger. They already have it in their phone. They scan that and they can chat with you right away. Now, if you think of the user cases, you can get quite creative. For instance, use it on a flyer, right? Say you're doing outdoor advertising, you're handing something out, and or you have like an outdoor bus shelter, you have the logo with the messenger code around it, and something like, we're always ready to talk, even now. Just as a bit of a, like a, you know, side tip, what we're actually doing, we're gonna put that on our business cards. On the front, we're gonna have a traditional business card. On the back, we're gonna have this thing. And check it out. I've shared some step-by-step instructions on how to do this in the show notes. Super, super simple. And if you still can't figure it out, find a 12-year-old. They're insane at these things these days. I'm sure they'll be able to help you out. The second thing is the response assistant, right? So I spoke about the messenger code. The second thing I wanted to talk about was response assistant. And I don't know what's cooler. Actually, you know what? This is cooler. Response assistant is definitely cooler. All right, so some of you might have noticed, if you respond fast enough to a message on Facebook, they turn on this label, and it's something like, you know, fast replies within hours, or very fast replies within minutes. I mean, what a pain, right? You have to reply within minutes to get that that very fast label. Well, not really, because what you can do is in that very same place where you find the messenger code in messages, you can turn on response assistant and create auto replies for everyone who messages you. And that essentially is an automatic response. So your response rate automatically, default, overnight, will go up as soon as a couple of people start interacting with you. And you can, there's a few templated ones in there. You can put something like, thanks for messaging us. We'll try to be as responsive as possible and we'll come back to you ASAP. And if you want, you can add something like, if it's urgent, check out our website, or if it's urgent, call this number. Or my suggestion would be, if you're able to support it, of course, is if it's urgent, give this number a text. Because they're already in text mode, in messaging mode, it's a lower perceived barrier to communication. Text could work pretty well. And if you want to take it that step further, add a little bit of personality to it. And I'll give you an example. You know, something like, looks like our social media dude is distracted by Snapchat filters again. When they're back, he or she will be on the case and get back to you as soon as possible. So you can be quite creative and edgy with it. Just because it's an auto response bot, robot, whatever you want to call it, doesn't mean you can't inject a little bit of personality with it. And I just want to say one thing here. Ignore Facebook Messenger at your own peril, right? If you think it's not that great or it's not being used, you are highly mistaken. Facebook has a way of pushing features that it wants to, and they're pushing Facebook Messenger as hard as Facebook Live, and it's growing. I'll share a graph with you from Statistica.com that shows a month-on-month increase, and as of July, there were 1 billion active monthly users, and it's only increasing. Another thing they've actually released is a shortcut to chat to any page or any person on Messenger. All you have to do is, if you have a Facebook page or if you have a Facebook profile, you go to m.me/username. So for us, it would be m.me/redpandasco, which is the name of our Facebook page. It pops up a window which automatically allows me now to communicate with that page or that person almost instantly via Facebook Messenger app. So they're trying to lower the hoops to interact and use Facebook app, Messenger app. All right, let's move on to a social media network that actually has Facebook and Instagram peddling to keep up with them. And that, of course, is Snapchat, possibly the most talked about and misunderstood social network of 2016. Before I go on, I think there's one fundamental principle we have to keep in mind. And I think this is what is causing a lot of confusion for marketers right now trying to figure out how to use Snapchat. And this stems from asking the right question. The question shouldn't be, how do we market our offering, our products and services on Snapchat? That's the wrong question. It's a doomed strategy from the start. It's more about, how do we create compelling and interesting sales-free stories? How do we create compelling and interesting stories with our personas? I like to think of it as, if our brand was a person, what stories would it share with people that find it interesting? And honestly, the people who say Snapchat is just for B2B fail to realize this. I refuse to believe that it's just a B2C thing, it's not for B2B. And I know why it scares a lot of people, particularly B2B brands. One objection is that it's just for young people. And yeah, it's true, 71% of the app's users are 25 or younger. But there are other stats too, like one of the growing segments for Snapchat at the moment is the over 35 segment. And the fact that even Facebook, if you remember all those years ago, started as a young person's network as well. It's like Gary Vee says, a lot of people don't realize that once an app hits 100 million users, it's gone mainstream. That's it, it's hit the mainstream now. It means the platform can now start to mature and get deeper and deeper into the business world, which is what is already happening with Snapchat. I'm not saying it's for every single business, but to say it's only for B2C and not for B2B at the moment, let's wait and see, that's a sweeping statement, and it's just not true. It's essentially saying the concept of P2P, or person-to-person, marketing doesn't exist. And there are already a couple of companies already doing this quite well, right? And I want to speak about B2B, because I know B2C is quite obvious when it comes to Snapchat, but B2B, it's a slightly different case. So HubSpot uses Snapchat both as a marketing and recruitment tool. You know, a place where they can actually showcase their culture, what people are doing, what they're doing for work, their perks, the inbound philosophy. Cisco is another, sounds really boring, another B2B company that pretty much has handed over its Snapchat account to employees and people in the recruitment process. And of course, just like on Facebook, you need to have guidelines. We're not just saying just give it over and just let them go nuts. You need to have house rules, what people can do, what they can't do, what they can say, what they can't say. You know, things like no bullying, making fun of people, taking snaps of, you know, unsuspecting public without their permission, swearing, and balance that. Once you have some guidelines, balance that with your autonomy and let them go for gold. Once you put too many rules into place, no one's going to want to use this thing. Now, again, it's not for every company. You know, really, really small companies or freelancers may struggle. But again, you know, it might work where the founder is a brand. And honestly, it's great for companies as well that promote strong culture, have a team. You know, there's a lot of interaction with people, processes. It can work, right? I'll speak on Snapchat strategy in future because I think that's a separate topic altogether, you know? But what I want to talk about today is how you can actually dip your toe in the water, how you can actually expedite building a community on Snapchat via competitions. And I want to talk about two methods specifically. The first one that I'm currently trialing with a client at the moment involves creating a geo filter. Now, if you haven't seen this before, a geo filter allows you to create your very own branded on-demand geo filter, which you can use at a time and location of your choosing. I'll explain this a little bit further. This is relatively new, and there is an enormous competitive advantage right now because, you guessed it, not many brands are using it. And it's really cheap, and users don't have fatigue yet. They don't mind using a branded geo filter at the moment. So if you haven't used Snapchat before, think of it like this. You know, you have your own photo in the frame, or you have a photo of, you know, the scenery or the opera house or whatever it is, and you swipe right, and then you can actually have your own, you know, text or imagery at the bottom as well. Now, how it works, how you actually set this up, you go to snapchat.com/on-demand. Again, I'll share that in the show notes. And you create what is known as a geofence. Okay, so the idea of a geofence is you pick a time, you pick a location, and you say that around this vicinity, I want my filter to appear for Snapchat users. At the moment, you're looking at paying $5 for 20,000 square meters, or, you know, in the metric, you know, terms, 1,800 square meters. That's pretty, pretty cheap. This will go gangbusters. I swear, by the time next year comes around, every wedding you go to will have a Snapchat filter of their own, right? But let's think of it in the context of business. Because geofilters can apply around a certain geographic vicinity, they're really cool for a number of user cases. So, for instance, if you're doing event marketing, right? You're going to an event, or you're featured at a conference or something like that. If you have a new store opening, if there's a special holiday or public event that your brand has some tying into, you know, like St. Paddy's Day parade or something like that, a music festival or an industry conference, something like that, it can work quite well. Here are the steps, right? Let's break it down. Step one is a little bit strategic. Find an obvious tie into your brand. So for our client, they're currently involved in sponsoring a motorsports event, and they'll have an on-site activation point. So all that means is they're going to have a place where people can engage, and specifically in this case, they're going to have this super awesome expensive race car there that people can come take a photo with, hashtag, so on and so forth. So that's the on-site activation. So find some sort of tie-in that you can actually tie in with your brand. The second step is quite tactical. Design your filter. Now, if you're not a designer or are not experienced with Photoshop or Illustrator, it might be worth seeking assistance here, getting a graphic designer to look into it. Or you know what, honestly, even just use Canva, right? If you can't do that, even use Canva. Don't let that stop you. Now, they've got templates. Snapchat has its own templates, but to be honest, they look pretty shocking and they're more of the personal amateur kind of level. So I wouldn't use them. I'd definitely create your own. Step three, quite simply, upload to Snapchat. So you'll need to get it approved. So do not leave this to the last minute. Try to do this 3 or 4 or 5 days before your event or the thing that you need to do this for in case it gets rejected. And pick a time, pick a date, and you're good to go. You're set. Once it's over, Snapchat will give you some basic reporting. You know, we'll give you some basic stats on how your filter performed, showing you users, so who used it and how many views. So you might have had 5 people use it and they each have, you know, 20 friends each who saw it, so that's 100 views. How you tie this into a competition is very, very simple at this point. If you've used Snapchat before, you'll know that you can send a snap, an image or a video to either your friends or you can send it to a particular person. So you can either send it to your story, which is everyone, or a particular person. The mechanic of entry, in the case of my client, what we're asking people to do is take the Snapchat using our geofilter, and secondly, send it to your stories, and also send it to us, so we know that you've obviously actually done it. And that's it, that's a submission. At the event, we'll actually have signage, and we'll be announcing the winner on Snapchat, on Facebook, and at the event as well. Pretty simple, works great again for event or location-based businesses. Definitely think of a user case for yourself. There's a second way to create a Snapchat competition, and I'll end at this point here, and that's using an app. So if you're listening, you know I love my apps, I love my tools, I'm always looking out for the most easiest, most feature-packed ones to use. And there's one called Gleam.io. Now, I'll link that in the show notes as well. It's not designed for Snapchat competitions only. You can run Facebook competitions, Instagram competitions. You can even run really cool things like, you know, speaking of location-based competitions, a Wi-Fi gate competition. So someone they can use your Wi-Fi, but they have to do something. They have to like your Facebook page or give you an email address or whatever. You can turn that into a competition. It's pretty cool stuff. So they also let you do Snapchat competitions as well. And how it essentially works, look, it's a little bit less engaging than using the geofence ID, the geofilters ID. It's not going to increase your fans as quick as that would. But what it allows you to do is run a competition for anyone who follows you on Snapchat. So if you're on desktop, for instance, they would have to scan a snap code on mobile and click a link. Now, if you're on mobile, of course, they would have to go to a link, click on that link, then they can like you or follow you on Snapchat, and that counts as an entry. Now, it's not completely seamless because Snapchat doesn't have an API to verify a follow. So there is a bit of an honesty principle going on here. So Gleam app does require people to enter in their username as a verification. So essentially they follow you and then they have to enter in their username. And then that tells you, you know what, this person has submitted an entry. Now, if you get inundated, which is a good problem to have, it gets a little bit trickier to verify, but it still works. You can always get people to snap you as well and their followers as well with something related to your brand. So you might say, use Gleam. Oh, you wouldn't say use gleam.io, but you might have a competition where they have to follow you on Snapchat and then send you a snap as a mechanic of entry. So that's it on the Snapchat front. Pretty simple. There's definitely a lot more here. And in future, I want to do an episode on Snapchat strategy where we talk about how you build a following, what works from an engagement point of view, what's a bit of a framework to get you going, and how you measure and track. But honestly, let's just get started. That's for another episode. If you are really keen on that, definitely hit me up. Nudge me on Twitter at mobysadiq.com.au, and I'll do that sooner rather than later. So that's it. That's the end of another episode. Don't forget to check out the show notes where I've shared the screenshots, instructions, more links as well. And you'll find the show notes by going to redpandas.com.au/EP28. Next week, there's more on social media. I'll be sharing with you an influencer masterclass with a fellow Aussie, Mr. Jules Lund, and his new Tribe app that connects brands and influencers together. So definitely check that app out in the meantime. Keep sending in your feedback. Rate us on iTunes. You can always reach me at Moby Sadiq on Twitter or moby@redpandas.com.au. Have a fantastic day and week ahead, and I really do hope to catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to Inbound Buzz. Learn anything? Return the favor by spreading the word. Want to make your mark in digital? Need help with your digital strategy, inbound, and marketing automation efforts? Then visit redpandas.com.au and be sure to tune in next time for another Inbound Buzz hit.